Take your Bibles, please, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, you should have received an outline. If you don't have one, certainly raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to be filling things out here as we go. If you need a pen, might I encourage you to get a Zebra 701, F701, that would be an 8mm. They are very nice. And if you would like to be a part of the Madison Baptist Church Pen Club, see me after church. You have to be in our Sunday school class to really appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 9, we are going to begin in verse 11. We're going to be talking tonight about the precious blood of Christ. Sometimes there's a tendency for people to go away from the blood of Christ. People want to talk about a bloodless gospel. Well, that is a gospel. That's another kind of gospel, but that's not the gospel that the Bible teaches. What's so big deal about the blood of Christ? You have it. You've got blood. Blood's important. You wouldn't be here looking at me. You wouldn't be able to understand what I'm saying if you didn't have blood. We're going to talk about that tonight. Now, let me preempt you. There are some medical pictures, but there's nothing gory. I promise you, there will be no casualties in this service. Please understand, I am off duty, just so you know. But we do have a nurse here, so we'll be fine. So that's good. Hebrews chapter 9, let's begin in verse 11. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If you write in your Bible, I want you to underline four words. It's in verse 14. It's these three words. How much more? That's in verse 14. How much more? And then go back up to verse 12. I want you to underline the word once. Once. We're going to learn about this. Blood in the Bible, it comes from the Greek word hahima. The Greek word, it's where we get our word hematology. If you're a hematologist, you are a physician who studies blood. Heima, that's where we get our word. It says in those verses in Hebrews that Christ's blood was more powerful than the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of bulls and goats had to be done continually. It wasn't once. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus did that once. If you lost as much blood as Jesus did, you could only do it once. The blood of bulls, it wasn't just they just spilled it, you know, and it was a little bit, and then they patched it up and put a band-aid on and they went on their way. No, it took the life of the animal. And by ending the life of the animal, that pacified the Lord until the final sacrifice was to be there. Blood is mentioned 443 times in the Bible. Now, this is not all in reference to human blood. It could be the blood of animals. And sometimes it talks about maybe like the blood of the vine. Sometimes we would call that grape juice or in different reference, okay? But one thing that is true, in Leviticus, it says that blood was forbidden to be eaten. Now, you and I would say, well, that's disgusting. Of course it is. Well, back then, they ate the animal. And then what they were to do with that blood, it was to go on the altar. And I don't know if you've ever smelled burnt blood, but it's not like you just walked by Bath and Body Works. It's bad. It has a very potent smell. There's something in the Bible about first mention. When you talk about a topic, when you talk about a word, when you give a principle, you want to know in the Bible, when was this first introduced? So we have blood first introduced in Genesis 4, 8 through 10. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Liar. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer to that is yes, by the way. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, the Lord said, what hast thou done? Notice what it says. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The first murder happened, and God said, Abel, you know your brother? Where is he? How am I supposed to know, Lord? Am I supposed to keep track of him? And God says, well, guess what? I can tell that his blood is on the ground because it cries to me. This is the first mention of blood in the Bible. We know from Leviticus 17:11, it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You have life today because of the blood that is flowing through your veins. You have life today because it's circulating all through. Your vehicle, unless you have an electric one, your vehicle will not run without gas. It requires a fuel. The fuel in your body is blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If you lose blood, you will lose your life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. These would be what we call red blood cells. Don't worry, it's going to get more scientific, so hang on. This is looking at it under a microscope. There's a lot of different cells in there. There's red cells, white cells, platelets. We're going to get to that. But this is basically a schematic. This is everything that's in your blood. You have platelets, you have red blood cells, and white blood cells. Now let me tell you this. If you have any bacteria in your blood, you are sick. Your blood is a sterile environment. There should be no bacteria. If you have bacteria in your blood, you will be sick. So, human blood. One standard pint of blood equals about 2 cups. Blood carries oxygen and nutrients to all the body. It carries carbon dioxide and other waste products back to the lungs, kidneys, liver, and spleen for disposal. Sometimes we don't even think about your spleen. Your spleen weighs about half as much as a tennis shoe. And the spleen's job is when all of the blood goes by, it says, oh, that one don't look right. Come here. Oh, no. Get back here, back here. You're kind of bad. Nope, get back here. And the spleen's job is to take fractured cells out of the body and then get rid of it. That's the spleen's job. Now, you can live without your spleen, but I wouldn't recommend it. Blood fights against infection and helps heal wounds. There is no substitute for human blood. There's nothing we can make in the lab today that is equal to blood. Now, if you came in and you were low, we could give you a solution that would be similar to it, but it's not water. You put water in your veins, it will kill you. It has to be a similar solution from what's in there. You have 206 bones, 628 muscles, but 1 billion cells, red cells, on 1 drop of blood. It's amazing. God said the life of the flesh is really in the blood. How many pints? The average adult has about 10 pints of blood. This and one more would be how much blood would be in an adult human body. That's about how much blood. So there would be 3 of these. That's all the blood you have. If you lose a large portion of that, you will cease to be able to have all of your vital functions. We say life over limb. That means you want to preserve the life. If you lose your arms, you can still live. We say life over limb. Your blood volume is that much. A newborn has 1 cup or about 1/2 ounce. The babies that are in the nursery, that's how much blood they have. So you can imagine if a baby were to get a nosebleed and they lost some blood, you say, well, that's not much. Well, for a baby, it is. That's a lot of blood. I thought, wouldn't it be fun if I filled this up and I put red food coloring in there? And I thought, no, I guarantee I'd have a casualty. I guarantee it, you know? Adult has 8 to 10 pints of blood. A child, about a 40-pound child, has 2 to 3 pints of blood. And of course, a baby has half a pint. The composition of your blood, this is kind of the how it equals out. Plasma. Plasma is more of the watery portion of your blood. White blood cells and platelets are about 4%, and red cells make up 41%. This is the average, what it's supposed to be. If you have too much red, too many red cells, you have something called polycythemia. If you have too little plasma, it's bad. Your blood makes up about 8% of your total body weight. If you weigh 100 pounds, about 8 pounds is blood. If you weigh 200 pounds, about 16 pounds of blood is in your body. How blood is made. You see there that the red blood cell production, it goes through your veins, and then it goes into your kidneys. If you see in the Bible, if you see the word reins, your heart and your reins, the reins, that's the word for kidneys. In Spanish, the word reñones means reins. Easy way to remember. So in your kidneys, it goes through there, and the kidneys secretes a protein, erythropoietin, goes to your bone marrow, and with all of these other vitamins, it makes it. That's the circle. Question, where is your blood made? In your bone marrow. That's in the marrow. So you know in the Bible when it talks about that God's word is even richer than the fatness of the marrow? It's talking about the richest part of our body. The richest part is your bone marrow. And that is what makes our red blood cells. Now this man was very important. In 1900, he discovered something because he said, well, how come blood isn't all the same? I mean, why do I give it to somebody and they get really sick, but I give it to another person and it's okay? Well, this man, his dad was a doctor of law. So he understood what it was like to study, and he went to be a doctor of medicine. His name is Dr. Carl Landsteiner. In 1900, he discovered this. There are different blood types, A, B, O, and AB. The plus is your rhesus sign. If you're A positive, B positive, okay? Anyway, he discovered that, and today we are all thankful for that, because if you go to the hospital and they say, well, what kind are you? And maybe you don't know your blood type. And if you don't, see me afterwards. I'll have a fun test that we can do together. But this man, we're very thankful for his work. In fact, the work that he did was so instrumental that now they could take this research and they could use it for soldiers that were in World War I. They could use it in Korea, and they would give them blood transfusions. In fact, this work was so monumental that in 1930, he won the Nobel Prize in Medicine. It's always held in Sweden. And it's on December 10th. The man was Alfred Nobel, so they always have it on his birthday in Sweden, December 10th. We're very thankful for his work. Blood transfusions. Maybe your blood count gets low and you need blood. How does that work? You're taking it from one person, giving it to the next. These are pints. They call the unit of blood. You can donate every 56 days. The law says you have to be at least 16. You can't donate unless you're under 16. And according to the American Red Cross, every 2 seconds, someone in the world needs a blood product. 29,000 units of blood are needed in the U.S. every day, according to the American Red Cross. 29,000. If you were to job shadow me, this is what we would look at. We would look at a CBC, complete blood count. Now, I can tell what's wrong with this person just by looking at that. His white count is low. His size of his red blood cells are small, he has microcytic anemia, and his platelets are low, he has thrombocytopenia. I can just tell that just by looking at that, this guy's in trouble. Just by looking at numbers, all that came from a blood sample. But the science is cool. But that's not what's most important. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, 20 and 22, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged without blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Without someone dying, without someone spilling their blood, God would not be appeased, especially in the Old Testament, and that was a picture of the foretelling of the one sacrifice that would come. Because if Jesus hadn't shed his blood, we'd be on our way to hell. The blood of Christ is important. His blood is different than our blood because it's pure. Ours is tainted, but not his. His was perfect because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So in your blanks here, the first blank is the prophecy of the blood of Jesus. The prophecy of the blood of Jesus. There is a prophecy. When Adam and Eve sinned, God shed the blood of an innocent animal to atone for their sins. God did that. When they sinned, God said, okay, now I got to take care of this. So what did he do? Unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Skins of what? Animals. Well, how did God get that? An animal on earth had to die to cover up the nakedness of Adam and Eve. You see, before sin, they were naked and it was no big deal. It wasn't a shameful thing. But after sin entered the world, God said, okay, because you did that, because you violated, because you broke the law, my law, I'm making coats of skins. And it says he clothed them. So someone else had to die, something had to die, an animal had to die. And that was made by God to cover them, the prophecy of the blood. During the Exodus, God told the Israelites to apply the blood to the doorposts. Exodus 12, 7 through 13, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, I thought about this. I studied this a little bit. I thought, why? Why would God want blood on the sides and on the top? Why? Granted, this is my own conjecture, but I'm thinking, I'm a dad, and I got my kids. And if I would have to apply the blood, then that means I would have to kill one of my animals. My kids are going to see me out doing that. So I'm going to kill a lamb. I'm going to kill a goat. I'm going to kill a bull. I'm going to kill something. And then I'm going to take that blood and somehow I'm going to apply it to the sides of my posts and above. Could it be that so that the kids would remember that when they go in the house and they see that blood just kind of trickle down? Could it be that they too would remember that, oh yeah, an animal had to die for our sin? Because God chose it this way. Why did God choose blood? Why was blood? Why not spit? Why not water? Why not something else? Well, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if the life of the flesh is in the blood, then the flesh had to be died, had to die so that someone else could live. God told them to do that. Sometimes God tells us to do things that don't make sense. But what do we do? Okay, God, well, I'll obey when it makes sense. What if the Israelites would have done that? Well, God, you see that I don't understand that. Why do I have to kill one of my animals? And why do I got to ruin the nice trim job that I just did? Why do I got to do that? Well, if you don't, you're going to die. What would you choose? I'd take a little blood on my trim. That'd be okay. Because, I don't want my firstborn to die because I was disobedient. Do you ever wonder about the people that applied the blood and others said, look at those fools, what are they doing? How would you like to be in a house that didn't have blood on it? They'd be rejoicing, you'd be crying. Because your firstborn wouldn't be with you anymore. Countless sheep, bulls, goats, oxen, and turtle doves were killed, and their blood spilt as sacrifices for sin. It was used in many of the offerings. All of these offerings, blood had to be used on the altar. Sin, the trespass, the burnt offering, and the peace. Once a year, the priest was to make an offering of the blood of animals on the altar of the temple for the sins of the people. He was to do that. That was his job. Once a year, the high priest went in, and he killed an animal, and that blood was poured on the altar. This was a blood offering that was limited. If you have to do something once a year, then that means it only goes 365 days and you got to do it again. It's like your Costco membership. You got to renew it. But that was limited. The priest knew that what they were doing was only going to last so long. But Jesus' sacrifice didn't last just a short time. We never saw him. We weren't at the crucifixion. But I know that I'm saved today because of the blood of Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago, and it still works. Because it's not limited. The blood of Christ is unlimited in its effectiveness. Your next blank is the power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood. The power of the blood. Our blood is tainted by sin and evil. Christ's blood was pure, spotless, holy, and without blemish. Unbelievable. I always loved hematology in medical school. I always thought it was the most fascinating thing, how our bone marrow, all in our bones, could make cells. It's just so fascinating to me. But his blood was different than ours, but yet he was a man. In the man, Lord Jesus, his body, his bone marrow made human cells. He was really a human. Here's your blank. His blood redeems us. My wonderful daughter, who I love with all of my heart, she picked out my spelling error. And for that, Selah, you will get an A on tomorrow's English test. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. Who wrote that? Peter. If you read the accounts of the Gospels, wasn't Peter there? He would have saw this. You were not redeemed with corruptible things. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way. You know what you're redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ. And he could say it was precious because he saw it. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I can imagine Peter. I can just imagine him writing this and just thinking back to years previously when this had all happened. You know how there are some memories that you just never forget? I don't think Peter forgot those times. I think he remembered it. His blood redeems us. Luke 22:44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his blood was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When I studied this, this was so gripping to me. The Greek word for agony is the word agonai. It's the only time in the whole Bible this word is used, and it's described of our Lord's intense, unbelievable suffering. It's the only time. Dr. Luke is the only one to give us. No other gospel writer gave it to us. It's the Greek word agonai. It's where we get a struggle for victory, a wrestling, severe mental struggles and emotions of anguish and agony. I don't even think that word even does it justice to understand what Jesus went through in the garden. It says that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. There is a medical condition called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis is a condition where you are under so much intense, deep pressure that you are under so much turmoil that actually your blood vessels actually rupture and you sweat blood. I've never seen it. It is so rare, but it's real. I have to believe that word agony described of our Lord, I have to believe that was real. I have to believe that he was under so much pressure. And why did he do that? Because he loved us. I think we will have the rest of heaven to say thank you. It's the only time in the whole Bible this word is used. John's reference. John is one of the one writers that says, right, Jesus is on the cross. And what does it say? Forthwith came there out blood and water. I happen to think they put that spear in. Oh, I know. They put that spear in after Jesus was dead. Because it says, remember, they were coming, they were going to break their legs, but they came to the middle one, and they didn't break his legs because Jesus was already dead, and it said he stuck a spear in. And that it came forth blood and water. I think they put it in the fifth intercostal space, and I think it hit his heart. I think he had a pericardial effusion, a pleural effusion, and I think blood and water came out. And I think that was the literal death of Jesus. But that wasn't what killed him. All the Gospels, you know what it says? And he gave up the ghost. Our sin did not kill Jesus. Jesus willingly laid down his life and shed his blood because he loved us. I don't understand it, but I'm thankful for it. Benefits of the blood of Christ. We'll go through these here. We are justified by his blood. We are justified by his blood. Romans 5, verse 9. Romans 5 and verse 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're justified by his blood. Next one. We can enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Christ, allows us to come into his presence. We can enter in there. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ. 1 John 1, 7. 1 John 1, 7. First John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses. That word cleanse, it means to clean. How in the world does blood clean? Moms, you ever kid come to you and they got blood stains on there? Which, by the way, don't wash blood in hot water, because what it will happen will cause the proteins in the blood to agglutinize and it'll clump together to be harder to get out. And there will be a stain. You always want to wash bloody things in cold water. How could the blood of Christ cleanse us? It was the shedding of blood that cleansed us. Next, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are made nigh. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Because of the shed blood of Christ, if it's applied to our account, he says, no, come to me. You can come unto me. There's not this separation. Now, sin separates us from God, but if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and that blood's been applied to our account, he said, no, you have a different relationship now. Come unto me. Next blank. We have peace through the blood of his cross. We have peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We now have peace with God through the blood of his cross. When Jesus died on that cross, it was an actual, literal, physical death. He shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And if the life of the flesh is in the blood, then Jesus had to give his life. All this stuff that, Jesus kind of went to sleep and they put him in a cave and he came out. That's hogwash. Jesus Christ died on that cross and he was dead. We have peace through his blood. We are washed in the blood of Christ. Revelation 1:5. We are washed in his blood. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I mean, I'm all for taking a bath, but not in blood. I need to be clean, but if there's bloody water, I don't want to be in it. Number one, because I studied microbiology. And number two, I'm not going in that water. How could blood make me clean? It was his shed blood. We're washed in his blood. Also, we're made white by the blood of Christ. Revelation 7:14. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Again, how could the blood make us clean? It was because it was applied to our account. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. The sacrifice was done. He didn't jump off that cross. He could have.
What's the Bible say?
He could have called 10 million legions of angels.
He could have said, nope, I'm done. Trip's canceled. I'm not doing this.
But he didn't. He went all the way.
Made white. That word white there is the word leukano. A white blood cell is called a leukocyte. It's made white.
There's so many things in medicine that have Greek connections and have Latin connections. There's so many things. It's so cool. I want you all to go to medical school.
Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood.
You know that Madison Baptist Church, although whenever it was started, whenever the charter was there, and whenever the building was paid and the land was given, did you know that Jesus Christ purchased this church? Now, you're a part of this church. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. But you know that Jesus bought this? This church, he purchased it. He loves it.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. I put that word Satan. That's not in there. I put that in there. They accused him. They overcame him. Who? They overcame Satan by what? By saying, hey, can you leave me alone? I'm trying to do God's work. No, that's not what it did. Hey, buddy, get out of here. You can't reason with the devil because he knows more than we do. What's it say? And they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. His blood gives power over the devil. That old phrase they used to say a while ago when you sinned, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He can't make you do anything. But you can overcome him by what? By the blood of Christ. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of his building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There truly is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's the first mention of it, and there's also the last mention. The Bible is almost to a close right here, Revelation 19. It's almost done. It started in Genesis 4, and in Revelation 19, here's what it says. And I saw heaven open. This was John. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. A vesture is a garment. It's kind of like a sash, or it would be, you know, I suppose this could be a vesture, but it would be something that you would wear over you. Why would you wear a garment that was all bloody? What would be the reason? I mean, if I'm going to come to church, I don't want to cut myself and put blood on me and say, oh, I'm ready to go. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood on a white horse. This is in heaven. You know, the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. I think that blood is to remind us that it was shed once for all. Once. A blood donor saved my life. Jesus donated his blood for us. Are you a recipient? I didn't ask you if your hemoglobin's low. I didn't ask you if your blood counts, they need to be up. But Jesus Christ shed his blood. He didn't have to, but he did. And by him shedding his blood on that cross, when we see him, we'll get to thank him because he literally did die. He literally did rise again. And he saved us by his blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've been able to have here tonight. God, I just ask and pray that you'll help us to have a greater appreciation for the blood that you shed. Thank you, Lord, that you did send your son to die on that Roman cross for us. I cannot imagine the crucifixion. Oh, I can study it. We can read about it in your word, but the agony, the pain, the turmoil, the sorrow, the utter rejection of God the Father upon you, Lord, I don't understand that, but oh, God, I'm so thankful for it. Father, I pray for these dear people that are here tonight. Thank you that they've come, and Lord, I pray that we would just have a greater appreciation for everything that you have done for us.